I'm going to read Proverbs 3 today. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So it's saying to not forget the law and to keep the commandments. It says to let mercy and truth not forsake thee. Don't forget about it. And bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Keep them in the forefront. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy bone, thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barrels be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of plentiness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down to dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thou be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to him it is due, when it is the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools.
Where did you start, Carrie? I know you...
Verse 1.
Oh, you read the whole of Proverbs 3. Okay, I apologize, folks. I had to take a call from Kenya in the midst. And no matter how many times I told him that we were in the midst of services, he didn't seem to understand. So I missed most of what happened. Praise God. All right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, we sang a couple songs here this morning that I just want to return to for a moment. One was, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. And I want to just focus on that for a minute because it's so easy to lose sight of that. You know, I've been redeemed solely and exclusively by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, you know, sometimes we can get frustrated with one another. Honestly, I was frustrated with Jeannie this morning, truth be told. I was thinking to myself, it happens every Sunday. It's like clockwork. I don't know. There's always a new problem associated with getting this thing done. And I was a little bit frustrated. But the thing that I remembered in the midst of my frustration, and it's a thing we have to remember about ourselves and with respect to one another, is I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jeannie is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't speak of any worthiness. If you had to know how to operate our board to broadcast properly to be saved, there might be little hope for Jeannie. But praise God, that doesn't matter. I mean, it matters from the perspective of we broadcast these messages. And it's important for these things to get out. And I praise God. And I praise God for Jeannie's determination and continuing to come here and work on these things. And I know that the Lord is going to, he's been making up the difference every week, and he's going to yet complete that perfect work in her. But you know, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the part about filled with the Holy Ghost too is an aspect that again has nothing to do with your worthiness. Nothing to do with your worthiness. All right. If it had to do with your worthiness, then there'd be no hope. I mean, let's think for a moment. Peter, remember the day of Pentecost? Talked about in Acts chapter 2. That was basically 50 days after Peter denied Jesus thrice. Okay, denied him three times, even to little maid. I mean, a maid. He was terrified of acknowledging Jesus after professing boldly that I'll go with you to the death. Can't even speak to a little maid when she says, surely you were with him because your speech bewrayeth you. In other words, betrayeth you. We don't have anybody else sounded like you around here. That's because none of the people around here were with him. All right. And yet there, 50 days later, the Holy Ghost fell on Peter. And Peter went forward and people were saved. And if you notice, one of the things that you see so clearly in the first couple of times where it is recorded of Peter preaching, and each time Peter makes absolutely clear that what's going on with him and what's happening is by no righteousness of their own, but it's wholly by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And we have to keep that in mind. You can do all things. There is nothing you cannot do if you remember that your righteousness is only by the righteousness of God. Not a single thing you can or will or ever shall do. And so you can walk forward in that redemption. You can walk forward and learn from your failures, learn from your mistakes, because that grace covers us while we learn. He does pull it back in places to expose things so that we can learn something new. You know, it's funny, I've got four children here, and you know, they're various ages, as you guys know, and from four now, the youngest, who turned four last week, to nine. And one of the issues is, when you see children, is that when you begin with children, they can't do anything themselves. They require the parent to do everything for them. There's not a single thing they can do. And as they begin to grow, you start asking things of them. You start requiring them to do certain things by themselves. And a lot of times, children aren't too happy about this turn of events. They kind of like the idea of somebody doing everything for them, and they get to just do whatever they want to do. And we're the same way. See, we're the same way, and as the Lord works with us, He begins to expect things of us. We have to start doing those things that He knows we are now capable of doing. And as we do that, a lot of times we don't feel capable of doing them, and a lot of times we fail. And what happens is, a lot of times in that place, we then give up. In that place, we give up. And we just start making excuses for ourselves. Well, maybe I just can never do that. Maybe, you know, I'm just so bad, or I'm so this, or I'm so that. I'm too stupid. I mean, whatever it is, we make excuses for why we can't do things. And I'll tell you what, that is a lie right out of the pits of hell that'll latch onto you and drag you down into the pit. It'll drag you down into the pit, and you cannot give it any place. Because the fact of the matter is, no. Yeah, I may be a screw-up. Yeah, I may have messed up. Yeah, I may have this, that, and the other thing. But that does not have to be my end. The Lord would not give me the opportunity and ask these things of me because He's a mean, nasty God who's looking down there hoping He'll just screw up and you'll get destroyed. Because I didn't want you anyways. No. The grace of the Lord, it says He died for us when we were yet sinners. The grace of the Lord was there before you could do anything. Before you could do anything, before you ever screwed up or any other thing, the grace of the Lord was there to redeem you. He paid that price to redeem you from absolutely all of this nonsense. All of it. All of it. And you don't have to stand in that place of defeat. You can go forward. You can go forward and become an adult. Somebody whose Christ is fully formed in. Who you can walk as Jesus walked. And when you do that, you know, it's a funny thing. A lot of times, you know, when you're looking back, if you're looking at a child, for example, and when God is doing, and when you're doing all things for your child, okay, you are like their God, man. You're like, awesome, man. I'm hungry. Hey, look at that. Hey, I'm dirty. Look at that. Hey, this. I mean, everything's just taken care of. I've been thinking a little bit about it. I'd be a stretch to say I've been meditating on, because that would mean I'd given it more thought than I have. But it was an interesting thing to me. You look back at the children of Israel in the desert with Moses. You know, notwithstanding all of their rebellions, their failings, their desiring to return to Egypt in their heart, their unbelief, every single day the manna was there. Every single day the water was there. Their feet did not swell. Their clothes lasted the entire 40 years. Every single day the extraordinary manifestation of God's grace was there. Even to the point that when He took Balaam the prophet up and showed him the children of Israel, through the cloud He saw them as tents of righteousness and a holy people. Under the cloud, picture looked a lot different. But then what's interesting is when the children of Israel then go into the promised land, there's a couple things that happen right off. First of all, when they go into the promised land, the food was cut off. There's no more manna. An interesting thing. It'd be very easy to see that and think, where did you go, Lord? How come you're not here? Why did you depart from us? The water taken away. They were expected now to eat of that which came from the land itself. They were expected to drink from that. They were no longer in a desert. He had taken care of all those things while they were out there in the desert. And then you go through and you look. I mean, the first battle, obviously, the walls of Jericho falling after going around it and passing through the River Jordan where the water stood up on end and the like. These were extraordinary signs of God's presence with them. Extraordinary signs of God's presence with them. But then as they went forward and had to battle further, you know, increasingly what you begin seeing is you begin seeing people with their swords drawn, taking people down, cutting through them. You see people increasingly having to stand without seeing by faith that God is with them. All right, when you start making that transition from, you know, infancy and the like into servanthood and then into friend or manhood, if you will, when you start making those transitions, you've got to stand a lot more frequently in the place where you're having to stand by faith in the midst of situations that a lot of times look to you like, where is God? And the situation doesn't look very good. And you have to do that more and more and more. Right? A lot of times you feel like in that midst you're going backwards and you don't realize you're actually going forward. But what you have to do in those situations, and I'm going to underscore the word situation, is we'll turn over here to Psalm 48. And it's a song we sing. And honestly, I thought it was over in Isaiah, but I guess it was in Psalms. Yeah, Psalm 48, it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." Now, what I wanted to hit here, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. All right? Do you only praise God when you can see something that He's done? Are you one of these Christians who's kind of a "what have you done for me lately" kind of Christians? I mean, I'm just asking. You know, we sing a song here. You know, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. All right? A sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice is something that costs you something. It costs you something. Right? And, you know, you look, it says also, we sing a song and it's out right out of the Psalms again. It says that God inhabits the praises of His people. All right, Paul, we read about in Acts how when he and Silas had gone over to this town called Philippi, which was like the big city, major city of Macedonia, he had gone over there because he had seen a man in a vision say, "Come over." And so he and Silas went, and they went there, and Lydia came to know the Lord, and some other folks, he stayed with her, and then they get beat up and thrown into prison, remember, because he'd cast the devil out of that damsel who had previously given her masters much profit. So he gets cast into prison, and they're in there. And he and Silas begin to praise God so loud that all the prisoners heard it. Now the prison keeper, he's asleep. All right, he's snoozing. but all the prisoners. Now think of this. The prisoners are people who are in prison God cared enough about. That Paul and Silas were sent there, and they were the ones who heard them singing, and then they experienced the power of God moved by an earthquake to open everybody's chains. Not only Paul and Silas's, everybody in that prison. And you know what? They were so amazed at what had transpired. They didn't flee. Think of that. They did not flee. They stayed. Now, you want to see God move. You want to have that experience of the Lord moving mightily. Then I tell you what, you have to bring that sacrifice of praise. You have to choose yet to believe and confront the situations that you are in. When it says he's beautiful for situation, you know, to me, it's amazing. I wake up with situations that I don't like all the time. And get a little further into the day, more situations arise that I don't like. I don't know about you guys, but I seem to have boatloads of situations that are always around me. Some of them are my children. Some of them may be clients, or some of them may be you. Some of them may be people all over the place. I get plenty of situations. And as I get these plenty of situations, my immediate reaction to most situations is not, praise God, hallelujah. Okay? It just isn't. I gotta tell you. My immediate reaction to most situations is like, oh, man, what am I gonna do with this? But the beautiful thing, the beautiful first situation comes, you know what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to lift it up to the Lord. I am going to go to Him with this situation. Because He is beautiful for situation. And so it's an amazing thing when I then go to Him. It's amazing how those situations that when they arose seemed like I just completely at a loss for where to begin or what to do or how this can work out or any other such thing, all of a sudden, the steps that I end up taking after going to Him, and this goes to the trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct the paths of thy feet. What happens is, as I go to Him, all of a sudden, the steps, whether I realize it, like have a eureka moment of, oh wow, okay, cool, I'll do that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have that. Sometimes I don't have anything of the sort. You know what I mean? Every situation is different and every step out in faith is different. There's not like every single time I do a thing, it's like I knew that that was going to be the right thing to do. There's huge numbers of times where I do things where I'm wondering, is that really the right thing to do? I hope to God that's the right thing to do. Lord, if this is not the right thing to do, please, you know, show me what I should be doing in a better way. And I step out and I do deal with it. And I trust Him. And it's amazing how those situations end up getting dealt with and He ends up being glorified and I end up being delivered continuously. Now, some of those situations all get dealt with neat and tidy in 15 minutes or a day or what have you. Some of those situations may not be seen to be dealt with for decades. Okay, decades. But the fact of the matter is, He is always beautiful for situation. And if you're going to really walk with the Lord, you've just got to determine, you've got to decide that the circumstances or the situations around you are not going to be your God. Those are not going to be the things that rule you. Those are not going to be the things that move you. Those are going to be the opportunities that God gives you to put your faith in Him and watch Him move. And in the midst of that, you're going to... And let me just say one thing about those situations. Sometimes those situations are your own stupid doing that they arise. Okay? I mean, there are situations that arise that in a sense have nothing to do with you, in the sense that, like, you didn't do something bad and therefore this is happening. But even though the situation may look bad, okay? Like that happened with Silas and Paul. They didn't do bad in bringing the gospel to the people of Philippi. Okay, but getting beat up and thrown in prison is hardly a joyful experience, I'm sure. On the other hand, when Paul went to Jerusalem, did he do something bad? I mean, it was not, he should not have done that. But did God redeem and make use of it? Absolutely. Was Paul diminished in any way? Was he diminished in the smallest way? As a consequence, absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right? See, this is the thing, is that, see, that grace of God, you're not diminished. His grace is sufficient for you and covers you no matter what it is. If you will just come back to it. And no matter how screwed up you have done something. I mean, did David do pretty bad with Bathsheba and her husband? Yeah. Did many people suffer as a consequence of that? Yes. People died. Can you imagine having that on your conscience? Having to stand up and be king knowing that people have died because of what you did? Can you imagine? Can you think that might be kind of hard? And yet he stood up and was king and loved the people and was not diminished one bit in the sight of God. That's the grace of God, folks. So we can stand up and we can go forward. And the fact of the matter is that what happens is God in our youth takes us and makes absolutely clear and shows us in extraordinary ways that He's with us. I mean, I remember when I came to the Lord, and I don't know really how to describe it to folks. I sometimes lament what I sense I've lost, if you will. Not that I know for certain that I've actually lost anything. But it was because the manifestation of His presence with me continuously was so evident. So evident all the time. I was just, you know, when I read that scripture where it says, you made me hope when I was upon my mother's paps, which is basically when you're breastfeeding. Okay, that didn't happen to me when I was on my mother's paps. I didn't know the Lord or anything like that. It's actually speaking of Jesus in that instance. But in the sense of when I first came to the Lord, and was therefore, you know, on the paps, you know, on the gospel, the sincere milk of the gospel, and God was tending to all my needs. Oh my God. I mean, it was just an amazing, 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 amazing experience. I can tell you, if He hadn't manifest so plainly that He was with me all the time, I probably wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And what's happened over the years is that the Lord has required me to stand without having that feeling. And in fact, many times having far more the exact opposite feeling. That where is He? And He's not with me. And I'm a complete screw up. And He could not love me. And He could not be with me. Okay? Which in that place, what happens is this word, you just grab hold. The only thing in that place you can grab onto and hope is in this word. The only thing, which is of course exactly what He wants us to do, right? It's exactly, He wants us to have confidence, no confidence in ourselves, but only in Him, the Word of God. And when you do that, now you're coming into that place where you're fulfilling that scripture Carrie read. trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Because everything else round about you, looks pretty scary. Looks pretty miserable. Looks like it's not going to work out. And you're not going to be saved. Right? So that thing when we say trust in the Lord with all thine heart, I just want you to understand the process you go through to get to this place is one that is frequently not very comfortable. And we get that. It's one of the reasons why the grace of God is there. And that's why He sends us the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. See, when you get into that place and you're in that situation and you lift it up to the Lord and the Holy Ghost moves to deliver you, to guide you, to keep you, you know what you are? Comforted. You may not be comforted in your flesh in the way in which, but you're comforted that God is yet with you. He has not departed from you. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, I share this with you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Your own understanding in situations, what you come to realize, is bunk. It's no good. It's awful. If you lean unto your own understanding and judge situations by your own understanding, you are going to judge them wrongly. I mean, I can tell you for myself personally, you've heard me say it before, but it's funny to me. Because I will preach what I thought was a good sermon. Sometimes, I mean, I get nothing, and if I get something, sometimes Davey will say, you know, that was boring, Steve, or that was this, that was the other thing. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I thought that was awesome, man. That freaking sucks, man. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was awesome. And then I'm up there preaching, and I'm saying something, and I'm thinking, is a single freaking word of this making any sense? Because I feel like my lips are moving, but I wish there was some device I could put to stop them because they are moving and it seems like utter gibberish, nonsense, stupidity to me. And then Davey will call up with tears in his eyes. That was beautiful. That was the best message you ever preached. So let me just say something about, well, my understanding. I can't speak for your understanding, but he says to lean not unto your understanding. So this goes for you too. My understanding, freaking kick it out. Get rid of it. It is zero, zilcho, nada, nothing, no good, nada. End of story. Okay? So, I share this with you because you know what's usually going on when we're feeling bad, we're feeling this, we're feeling that, is because our understanding is what we're leaning on. You know what I'm saying? We're leaning on our understanding of the situation. Why is this happening to me? Okay? We got all this stuff. That's the stuff you got to just put off. Okay, lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. I mean, look, I'm not going to stand here before you and suggest or say that I do this perfectly. But pretty much anybody who's around me knows who am I always testifying of in all things in my life? Jesus. Jesus. And that's because the Lord is with me. What am I going to say? Oh, that was me. I mean, you know, there's the closest you could say to that is, you know those bad things? That was me. You know those good things? That was Him. All right? And that is true at a certain level, but it misses something. His grace is with me. Always. If all I did was walk around perfectly, have no bad attitudes, never get frustrated with Jeannie, never have to step aside and pray, never screw up and things like that, everybody would think that that's how you were saved. Right? And what hope would people have? But what hope would people have? Our hope is not in that we can be do all of those things right. Our hope is in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. And see, when you do wrong, when you fail, when you do these things, and you yet hope again, and you stand up and you say, you know what, I'm going to learn this board, and I'm going to understand how these things work. I'm not going to be that stupid girl who got laughed at in school. I'm going to be the one who actually God's able to open up my understanding. If we could be in a Bible study in Claremont, New Hampshire, a place a little bit like Nazareth, from what I gather, and a woman who was on Social Security disability could sit there and I'd say, read the scripture, and she opens it up and she can't read. She's 30 years old and she can't read, 40 years old. And she says, she said to me, I can read, but I can't understand what I read. I said, well, do you want it to be that way? And she said, no. I said, in the name of Jesus, may you open up her Lord, may you open up her understanding. I said, read. And she read and she explained it perfectly. I mean, in one light bulb instant. This wasn't like, 3 weeks later, after attending school and getting her GED, she was able to read. No, she read immediately and understood. You should have seen her beam. It was an extraordinary thing to watch as this person who was 40 years old and never experienced understanding all of a sudden did. All right? Look, I mean, that is our Lord. All right? Will we believe Him for what His Word says and receive that which we have need of, that we can do what He would have us do? Well, that's really the question, isn't it? And that's what He gave you your faith for. If you listened to Davey's message a couple weeks back, it was, what was the purpose of faith? The purpose of faith was so that we could use it to believe God. Without that measure of faith that He gave to all people, it would be impossible for us to believe Him because we can't see Him. But because He gave us that, we can. But it's a choice. So what happens is, the way you do that is, the situation arises, you choose to believe God by going to Him, all right? And then after you've gone to Him, to step out in faith, trusting that indeed the one you've just gone to not only heard you, but will handle it, and you step out in faith, and God moves, and now, praise God, you have a testimony. And as you have testimony after testimony after testimony, first of all, in your life, there are other people who are part of those situations. There are children, co-workers, employees, employers, friends, whatever, family, who are part of those situations. And when they see you in the midst of those situations, have that peace and grace of God on you that sees you through and you being unfazed, now they can have a hope. Especially because many of them have known you. It's always funny, the ones who haven't known you. Because the ones who haven't known you, they look at these things and they think, wow, man, I mean, you know, that's just awesome, man. They think, how do you do this, that, and the other thing? Because they think you're not at all like them. You know, they think, you know, somehow you are a distinct creation that was separated from the womb, separate from every other person out here, because you didn't get moved by them. And you're thinking to yourself, you have no flipping idea who I am. I am an utter disaster. Saved by the grace of God, He is the one who has done this. And they just cannot believe that. Not you. And yet the fact of the matter is that that's exactly what happened. And over time, as that, what you'll see as you stand in that is the grace of the Lord will come on them. Not because they've even chosen Him yet. I want you to understand the thing. Not because they've even chosen Him yet. But because God is confirming to them His presence with you so that they can then believe. Right? It doesn't mean they believe yet. And when they do, when that gospel comes forth and that place of accountability between them and the Lord comes and they make their choice one way or the other, if they choose Him, then that grace grows and continues. If they don't, it gets pulled back and they depart. But it's all about the grace of God, folks. And it's all about that. And when you realize these things, I just want you to understand, as you go forward, that walk of faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. You're going to see less sightly things evidencing God's presence with you. Right? And you're going to have to stand by faith, trusting wholly in Him. And in that place, God is glorified and people can see His way. They can see His love. They can see His power because it's manifested on you. May the Lord bless you, folks.